Connecticut has become the 17th state to repeal the death penalty. After more than 9 hours of debate, the state House of Representatives voted for repeal last night, following a similar vote by the state Senate last week. Governor Daniel Malloy, a Democrat, says he will sign the bill. That will leave New Hampshire and Pennsylvania as the only states in the Northeast that still have the death penalty.
Death penalty opponents are applauding the vote in Connecticut. Among them is Richard Dieter, who heads the Death Penalty Information Center in Washington, and he joins us now. Welcome, Richard Dieter. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So what do you see as the significance of Connecticut's vote to abolish the death penalty?
Well, this was a long process of hearings, and before that, there was a study. There were elections in between when the legislature also voted to abolish the death penalty in 2009. They put in a new governor, so this was really a democratic process and a difficult one, but which reached a strong conclusion that they were ready to get rid of the death penalty, and it comes at a time when other states are also considering the same issue.
And it comes at a time, the fifth state in 5 years to abolish the death penalty. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. Since 1973, there have been something like 140 death row exoneration, thanks largely to post-conviction DNA testing. Has that contributed to why some states, a handful anyway, are rethinking the wisdom of the death penalty, in your view?
I think that's the central issue. It used to be that innocence was a theoretical argument, that we might make such a mistake. But since the advent of DNA testing, we've seen people who everyone thought was guilty and the appeals court thought was guilty walk off of death row, freed into the arms of their attorneys or the journalism students or the volunteers who helped free them. That's a frightening prospect. It means that we don't always know among those convicted and sentenced to death who's actually guilty. And so what's resulted since that wave of cases broke, there's been fewer death sentences. They're down 75%. Fewer executions, they're down 50%. And now more states abolishing the death penalty, and that hadn't happened for over 20 years.
And yet, according to polls, most Americans still favor the death penalty, even if that support is weakening somewhat. But isn't it fair to say that there's still broad support for it across the land?
I think there is support for a theoretical death penalty, a death penalty that works well, that is a deterrent, that captures the guilty and punishes them uniformly. But the real death penalty, the one that existed in Connecticut, for example, had one execution in 40 years. Lots of people, of course, didn't get the death penalty who were convicted of very serious murders. Race seems to, you know, be part of the discussion. So that real death penalty, which is actually costing the state a lot more than if people were sentenced to life, that one people were willing to let go, to vote for legislators and governors who promised to get rid of the death penalty.
Richard Dieter, let me ask you about this. I mean, of course, this is still a very highly charged issue. The vote in Connecticut came just a few years after one of the state's most horrific crimes, a home invasion, rape and murder of Jennifer Hawk Pettit and her two daughters and the burning down of their home. The Connecticut bill exempts the two men convicted of those murders and nine others currently on death row. And critics say that Connecticut is trying to have it both ways, abolishing the death penalty, but staying in the business of executing people that it still has on death row. What do you think? Is there an inconsistency there? What's your view on that?
Well, certainly, if the death penalty were simply a moral question, then you'd either do it or you don't altogether. But I think for some people it's a moral question, but for a majority, in other words, to get to a consensus, there also includes people who take a very pragmatic approach, that it isn't working, and so for the future, let's get rid of it. It's costing us too much. It drags things out. That's not so much a moral judgment. Perhaps those cases that are already done, we can let be. But for the future, we're not going to have it. So it's somewhat of a compromise, but that's often how legislation gets made.
Indeed. Now, with Connecticut's vote to abolish the death penalty, that still leaves 33 states that have the death penalty. But of those, how many are actually executing people with any kind of regularity?
Well, last year there were 13 states that carried out executions, and so there's about 30 states, if you take those that don't have the death penalty plus those that hardly use it, that haven't had an execution for over 5 years. So most of the executions, that is 80%, are occurring in just one region, the South. It's not a uniform or very strongly practiced death penalty throughout the country. It tends to be isolated, and that I think is also a reason to give it a close scrutiny.
And do you expect to see more states in the coming years abolishing the death penalty following Connecticut and the other states that have done so?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's quite a few states that had such a bill in their legislature this year. We're seeing California collected 800,000 signatures and will have it on the ballot in November, so that'll go before the public. There's five states in 5 years now. Is every reason to expect that at least this slow but steady pace will continue for a time. I think states like Texas and Alabama are not about to abolish the death penalty, but for most of the country that really isn't using it much, it simply makes sense to get rid of it.
Richard Dieter is Executive Director of the Death Penalty Information Center in Washington, D.C. Richard Dieter, thank you very much.
Thank you for this opportunity.
And listeners, you can find a state-by-state information panel about the death penalty at RadioBoston.org.
Well, stay with us because Kendall Square is hot. So hot, it's getting tough for entrepreneurs to find lab and office space around MIT. So where are they heading? Just follow the red line. That's next. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.